From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman in for Brian Mackey this week. Many of our listeners will know Metropolis, Illinois as the home of Superman. The city bears the same name as the fictional city where Superman lives. In recent months, it's the Metropolis Public Library that's been the center of some controversy. The library director there was accused of censorship and fired, and that has prompted some pushback from her supporters. Joining us now to walk through what's happened so far is Kim Comer, news director for WMOK 93.7 FM and 920 AM in Metropolis. Kim, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm glad to be with you all.
Also joining us is Ashley Stewart. She's campaign strategist for Every Library, an organization that advocates for pro-library legislation across the U.S. Ashley, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Ashley, let's start with you. So this entire conversation stems from a law that went into effect at the start of the year, essentially a law that encourages libraries to challenge censorship and prohibits book bans in public libraries. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ban book ban law is rooted with the ALA Bill of Rights, and they want to make sure that libraries in Illinois adopt the ALA Bill of Rights, which is rooted in constitution law, state public accommodation law, civil rights law, anything like that that pertains to a unit of government and what trustees have to take their oath of office on. And so the ALA Bill of Rights originally was adopted in 1939, and Metropolis Public Library specifically adopted it back in 2012 officially as the library. So this isn't anything new, but this is just something that there was a discussion at a board meeting, and so that's when the community members started to get involved.
Kim, let's bring you into the conversation. So with all of that in mind as sort of the backdrop, can you get us up to speed as to what's been happening at the Metropolis Public Library?
Yes, I can. And hello to Ashley. She's been an immense help in figuring some of this out. We're a town of about 6,000 people in Metropolis. We're 5 minutes from Paducah. We don't have a lot of controversy here. Small hometown. And it was around late December, early January, Director Baxter of the library was on our WMOK Coffee Break program, which is a community affairs program. And in casual during our conversation, she mentioned praying at the library with the children. And this was something that caught our ear. And then we had some feedback in the community, which, again, small rural population. But we did receive feedback on that and spoke with her on our next interview about what was happening. We had also noted some conversations in the Metropolis City Council meetings that indicated that there had been some sort of a discombobulation about books and what books should be in the library. It was also around this time that there was a meeting. It was January 16th at the Metropolis Public Library board meeting that a great deal of religious leaders from the community arrived at the meeting unexpectedly. We asked Director Baxter if they had attended the meetings before, and they hadn't. They expressed an outcry regarding Drag Queen Story Hour, which was a story, I guess, that had been started among those who opposed the Library Bill of Rights, if they had gotten to that point to know that they opposed the Library Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. As things went on and we spoke with Director Baxter, as she did indicate that she prays with the children in the library, and we did ask her about the books. There were specific questions from the community about the books. Folks had noted that they went to get Halloween books and there were none available, and things such as that. And as this all progressed, a letter to the editor from the leader of Eastland Church, Brian Anderson, who is also a city councilman in Metropolis, he expressed and used some fairly inflammatory language that if they as in the church didn't do something about the library, that it would become San Francisco. Hmm. And at that remark, we felt that we had to dig in, that we did not deem that acceptable at all. There was a meeting on February 20th at which a great deal of community had showed up. The Massac County Democrats had gathered a group to come and march to keep the public library public. At that meeting, some of the folks from the opposing side showed up as well. And it was lengthy, about 90 minutes of public comment, which we have in our archives on our website. And Ms. Stewart spoke at that time. And, you know, as we just continued to put pieces together and hear like Ms. Stewart's remarks on what books, you know, books that were put into a sold section, which had been created in the library, Director Baxter advised they had too many books. So some books had been put into the sold section that seemed to even further, you know, make this move along. The director has been was dismissed with a 5-3 vote at a meeting on the 28th of February. And then there were problems with the after school program, which she had operated, which, again, it was part of the conversation that was being had with the children, some prayer and this and that. She was dismissed, and following that, then Mayor Canada advised that there were three library board directors that he was going to dismiss because he had found discrepancies in their board time. So it's really become a lot at this point of the story, and right now the dismissal of the three Board of Trustees members has been tabled until the 22nd of this month.
Okay.
I spoke with the director the other night. She said, we're moving forward. We need to put the library back together and get things in its state it should be in. And then the mayor, were to follow up with him today to see if he has any remarks following the events of last week. It's really been a lot for a two-person news staff.
Yeah, I can only imagine, you know. Yeah. Ashley, yeah. I want to go to you because I understand you actually went to Metropolis as things were unfolding. And can you talk a little bit about what you did there and what it was like?
Yeah, absolutely. It was standing room only, and there were people they had to open the windows because the room was starting to get stuffy. And so there were people on the outside of the building crouched down, looking and listening through the windows. So a lot of residents turned out for the library, and I mainly went to provide support. So every library has a 501c3 side, which allows us to work with boards directly, in addition to our 501c4 side, which allows us to do campaign work. But my personal story, I'm a former public library director in Illinois, from Illinois, and I'm an elected trustee myself. So what we do is we go in and provide a lot of support and training and guidance for board members just to remember what the law is and what happens if that is not followed. And there's legal and financial ramifications that could happen if boards don't follow the law. And so what brings promise and hope to me is the amount of people that come out in the community to support and to stand for the right to read and the freedom to read. And a lot of that goes back to Kim and providing that coverage, because in a small town, it's hard to get that information out. And just the last city council meeting that Kim was able to live stream, it was standing room only again, but there was over 200 people watching online for even just Metropolis. So it says a lot when people start to pay attention of what's happening in the community.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to hear more about some of the reactions from residents. But first, Ashley, can you elaborate on what you said about the consequences of not following the Illinois law that prohibits book bans? I understand this could potentially jeopardize state funding. And how important is state funding to public libraries?
Great question. So this particular law in Illinois could jeopardize state funding. The Illinois State Library gets, there's different grants that libraries can apply for. If it's building construction, sometimes collection development, our annual per capita grant. And so it would affect that. But the other financial impact that it could have is we are seeing libraries across the country who are suing because of civil rights violations, constitution violations. And so the residents, the taxpayers, will have to pay for that if a lawsuit happens to start in Metropolis. So we just want to make sure that there's no litigation getting started if necessary. And we want to make sure that libraries can maintain their eligibility for grant funding.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. We're talking about the ongoing controversy at the Metropolis Public Library in Southern Illinois. We're speaking with Ashley Stewart, campaign strategist for Every Library, and also Kim Comer, reporter for WMOK Radio in Metropolis. Kim, can you tell us a little bit about what you're hearing from residents of Metropolis, perhaps on both sides of this issue? It seems many people are very passionate about this topic. So what are you hearing?
This has been a very passionate topic, and again, in a small southern rural community, I feel that I have been surprised and thrilled, I have to say, for the support of the library. The mix, it has kind of put a divider in our town, I'm sorry to say, because we have people on that feel very passionately on both sides of the issue. And yet still we have some people who have not really dug into the story and become informed. They think there are drag queens coming to the library, or there are dirty books coming to the library, or these sorts of things. A lot of times people tend to use these, I would call them scare tactics, you know, to further try to get people onto their cause or onto their bandwagon. But the coverage of the local coverage has been so important, because in so many communities in rural parts of the United States, we're losing local coverage. Yeah. And this has caused us to dig into the community. We have a community affairs program called Coffee Break, which has helped to pull a lot of this information out. We don't like sound bites here. We're in the South. We like to talk. So that conversation, a lot of those conversations have helped us to follow the story. And then I can't speak enough, you know, WMOK here since 1951, the Facebook Live coverage, I often think, what would the old timers think? But the Facebook Live coverage, we've had so many people in the community feedback and say, I'm so glad you brought this to my attention, because I'm busy with life and didn't know it was happening. And then I saw the Facebook Live. I feel that the feedback from the community has been very positive in respect for the library. Now, of course, there are people on both sides of the issue, as there always are. But it has caused people, I've said, this has been in a small town, you can just imagine. It's been odd and surreal even. But from this, I feel that a lot of people have learned that we need to pay attention to our meetings. We need to pay attention to city and county business and know what's happening with boards and different things. Yes.
Yeah. So Ashley, we just have a couple minutes left before we need to take a break. But I did want to ask, I mean, Kim mentioned sort of scare tactics or misunderstandings about libraries and what is happening in the libraries or what content is available. And it's interesting to think about how in other forms of media, movies, television, even video games, you know, there is some form of censorship, like movie ratings, so that parents know what to expect and what there, you know, what might be appropriate for a child or not. Could you just take a minute to explain kind of what is there in terms of what is or is not allowed within a library? And are these fears that kids might be exposed to inappropriate content, like, is that unwarranted or where, what, you know, what about that?
Yes. So everything that is in a public library has to pass the Supreme Court's obscenity test, which is the Miller test. And so we've always had trained librarians and trained library staff members to pick out those materials for the library and designate what sections they go in based on reading comprehension level. And so there has always been trained staff members picking out those items. And again, by definition, there's no pornography in the library. Everything has to pass that obscenity test. And that being said, I know that there could be some tough topics in the library, depending on the age range, but it's also important that parents know that they can absolutely be involved. They have to give consent for their children to get library card. They can see what is being checked out. And there is a lot of concern, but a lot of it too, unfortunately, has been scare tactics that we've been seeing across the country, where they'll take a book out of the teen section, but take a picture of it in the children's section. And then people start to think that these older materials are actually in a different section when they're not. So what I encourage parents to do is go to the library yourself, look through the library catalog yourself, and if there is a topic or title that's been popular and you're not sure, read it yourself. If you're concerned about what your child is reading, just take the time to go through and pick out a topic or title yourself to read it first.
We're going to take a short break coming up soon, but just to give remind listeners, we're speaking with Ashley Stewart, campaign strategist for Every Library, and Kim Comer, a reporter for WMOK Radio in Metropolis, Illinois. That's where the Metropolis Public Library, where the director has been accused of censoring books and has been removed from her position. We'll continue this conversation after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey. We're talking about the ongoing controversy at the Metropolis Public Library in Southern Illinois. That's where the director was accused of censoring books, and the board voted to remove her from her position. We are talking about this with Kim Comer, reporter for WMOK Radio in Metropolis, as well as Ashley Stewart, campaign strategist for Every Library. Ashley, I want to go to you to just maybe pick your brain a little bit about why you feel like libraries and this whole issue of censorship and book bans, why this has become maybe a pretty politicized of an issue, if you could speak to that.
Yes, yeah. The majority of people love libraries, statistically speaking, national polls, which is a wonderful thing. And I think this is one of those situations where there is a loud, sometimes aggressive minority of people in the community who, whether it's scare tactics or they are on a power trip or whatever it might be, they try to enforce new laws or ordinances or appoint certain people. But the lack of transparency is what makes people upset. And, you know, being a trustee myself, when I see that many people attend a local board meeting, it's typically a sign that trust has been lost with the residents and they need to rebuild what they have lost. They need to rebuild that trust with their residents. And so this censorship issue is, it's ironic in the sense that it's so much of it is based on misinformation when we're talking about libraries, but how important it is that people go to the libraries yourself and talk to the librarians yourself or attend board meetings yourself and be more involved and see how these decisions are being made.
Kim, Ashley mentioned that, you know, about transparency, about trust. I wonder what some of the things, you know, are that you're noticing in your community when it comes to this. And also just as a journalist being in a smaller town, you mentioned your newsroom's pretty small. What has it been like for you to cover this and how are you working towards, you know, bringing that information and that transparency to your audience?
Very carefully. It has been polarizing. It is of utmost importance to us to cover it equally. We want both sides to be known. Obviously, we have our own thoughts, but in this field, you have to put those in a box and leave them for later. The feedback in the community and I see going forward that people will become more involved. The number of people who have wanted to get involved now, in being on the board of trustees of the library. We don't know what happens yet with this library trustee situation. The three have been tabled until the 22nd. There are three appointments that Mayor Canada is ready to make now. In fact, he had them on the agenda last week until they tabled it. So we have yet to know what goes on with this. But what has been key for us has been the coffee break program, in which we can have real conversations and ask difficult questions, which has become a phrase around here. You know, these are people we run into. We have one grocery store in town. These are people we run into at the grocery, you know. So if I have to sit there and ask them some really yucky questions and then run into them over a basket of avocados, that can be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we try to just, you know, we're just level with them. We're here to report the news, and we ask the questions. We've told the listeners. We ask the questions until we have all of the answers that they want. And yes, as a small newsroom, two of us, myself and Angie Lockard, I call her my gal Friday. She is, you know, she has helped keep a lot of the pieces together. We've had some long extra hours and a lot of listening back through interviews and just trying to tippy toe carefully through it and make sure we get absolutely all of the facts and help bring it, hopefully, to a resolution that works for everyone. We intend to follow up with the Metropolis Public Library this Thursday on their coffee break program scheduled to hear more about the numbers. We had asked them in their last coffee break, talk about the numbers and, you know, what percentage of books had to be ordered for people who couldn't find their books and things like this, you know, for each demographic, so to speak. So I feel like we still have a long way to go on this before it's all untangled.
That's Kim Comer. She's a reporter for WMOK Radio in Metropolis. And we've also been speaking with Ashley Stewart, campaign strategist for Every Library. That's an organization that advocates for pro-library legislation across the U.S. Kim, Ashley, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us on the 21st Show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure
to be
here.
Thank you so much for having me.